I'm at the old Waterside Railway Station, where the very march we've been talking about all week started 50 years ago on this very day and ended in violence, marking the start of the Troubles. Over the next hour, I'll meet some of those who were involved in organising the march, those who walked, onlookers, those from other communities. Somebody asking, could things have been done differently? Just before I come to our first guest, just a typical content from...
So this friend, this relative came with a crash helmet when he was English. And he said to me, I hear, he said, that you feel a bit threatened, you know. I said, yeah. He said, well, I wear this crash helmet, I've drawn an eye in the back of it, he says. Because, he says, the police over here aren't like the bobbies back home, you know. So I arrived with a crash helmet, and then all these, people, you know, leading members of the movement said to me, Thunder, why are you wearing a crash helmet? I said, well, I'll tell you what, I mean, at the end of the day, he said, we're a peaceful movement. I said, well, I'm not going to start no trouble, you know. I said, but I took it as a threat and I wore a crash helmet.
And did you receive a few hits?
No, I didn't. A policeman ran after me, and then another one joined him, and then they were distracted. And then people pushed my sister, Deirdre, who actually ended up x-raying people in the hospital. It was her day off. She x-rayed 44 skulls, not counting the rib cage and the arms. And the point is, they pushed us in the cafe. Well, the other night in the cafe, the menu, thank God, was a big, big, long menu. And I pulled off the crash helmet, took off the glasses, put the menu up in front of me. She did the same. And then it was all very dramatic. And whatever way I was pushed, I hit the counter. The helmet slid on the floor, you know, whatever way it pushed me in. And when I got on my feet, the girl said, yes, what would you like? She didn't know what was happening outside.
Finbar, are you prouder of what happened or more regretful for what happened? You weren't to foresee it, of course.
No, I have no regrets. I mean, we went out, you know, with a proper peaceful intent. If we had had our rights, even Lord Carson said, you know, that, and he was educated in Trinity College, he said that the nationalist people should be treated fairly. No, we weren't really treated fairly, the nationalist people.
So, folks, I'm off. And it's a beautiful day. And it's just business as usual, I guess, in the railway station. I'm delighted that Martin Cowley is with me. These days a well-known journalist. In 68, Martin was a Cub reporter. Martin, he's just back there. So he's getting stuff signed by Finbar. With the Derry Journal, of course. Martin, delighted you made it.
Hello there, Mark. How
are you? It's good to see you. I mean, the pictures I've seen, I wasn't even alive, but the pictures I've seen, Martin, it was a hokey wee street and nothing like this. I mean, what are your memories? Let's keep moving.
Do you know, this area, Duke Street has always reminded me of Foyle Street in the 60s. Duke Street, there was a commercial aspect to it at the very top, but from the railway end of it, as you got towards the top, and by the top I mean the Duke Street Bridge, that's where there was more of the business. You know, at Archie Cassoni's Fish and Chip Saloon.
Cassoni's, I've heard of it.
You had the Oval Bar with all its lovely cricketing motifs in lovely marble, which echoed the Bat and Ball Bar, which is on Bonds Hill. So obviously there's good cricketing conditions around here.
Well, you're out of puff before we even start here.
I was running.
So, child.
So, James, you were caught red-handed.
Caught red-handed. You know, we were sent out to do something. It went wrong. An explosive device detonated prematurely. And there was a guy who was there, lost his arm. And that's where the caught red-handed. And he himself... You know, he himself come up with this notion, oh, I was caught red-handed. You know, he was able to, well, I suppose it wasn't very much good to put his arm back on, so he looked at it lightheartedly, you know, as we do here in this country, you know, so much. We tend to take very serious situations, and I think maybe that's to do with survival, you know.
James, you were sentenced to 15 years. This beautiful old bridge always takes the breath away. The former Tillian Henderson's now gone. It's like a tooth is missing in the city's landscape. We're nearing the end of the Craigavon Bridge. Yeah. James, come you back and just in terms of that whole agenda that has unfolded, you know, the civil rights agenda, the human rights agenda, does that displease you? Does it please you?
Where we are now, or
you know? Yeah, well, the whole debate how it evolved.
At the beginning, you know, and I was just walking along there, reflecting on it myself. You know, when at the start, I had a very limited understanding of what was going on. I wasn't alone on that. We were being fed a narrative forcefully, you know, by the likes of radical preachers, namely Ian Paisley, whose perspective, you know, we were fed and gobbled it up willingly.
I remember my mum trying to buy her house. Now, it was pittance and that money in those days. And I remember she couldn't get a loan because she was told that her vote, you know, wouldn't count more or less.
You had to have the papers of a house to get a vote. Or a wee business like this, a wee restaurant, or would have had three votes.
Yeah. So
we're at Eleanor's, by the way.
I'm at Eleanor's. This is where I buy my buns.
Eleanor's. What have you got there?
And this is their buns, look.
Very good. Chocolate, a wee slice.
Players, Rice Krispie Squares, apple tart, you name it. Lovely.
Folks, you're listening to a special edition of the Mark Patterson Show. It's the 50th anniversary of the Duke Street Civil March, the beginning of the Troubles, many would say. Today we've been...
Pardon?
Is this your wee local bakery?
Yes.
It's a proper wee bakery, isn't it?
Well, I had a cup of tea and a cake.
Ruby, I'm hearing from Jeanette and others who see this day 50 years ago very differently, and of course that's always going to be the case.
Yes.
Just what was it like for you, because you've already told us on Foyle this week that the events unfolded and you lost dear friends, the girls in the factory, everything changed.
It wasn't the same some way, you know, girls that you met, haven't seen hardly any of them at all, and we were always great. We used to go to the pictures together dancing, you know, and life just changed.
Have you chaps ever met? No?
Nice to meet
I don't
you.
Think so.
I've never seen him in my life.
Hey, man, it's a remarkable moment, really, and I don't want to overstate that, but I mean, 50 years ago, you boys would have been...
Never happened.
It couldn't have happened.
This is a microcosm of what should be, or what should have been, I don't know, 30 years ago, maybe. Think how many people's in the cemetery. You know, and here we are now, casually, you know, talking about the past like it's the past.
50 years ago, Eamon, this man was drawn into the loyalist way of things and did his time. I know you did your time as well. Encounters like this, they do matter.
Well, they matter to the degree that, as James says, we move on. Things have moved on. Society has moved on. But, I mean, the tragedy is that 50 years ago, this could have been avoided. All could have been avoided, but it wasn't. I mean, the events of this day 50 years ago set in motion a chain of events that left us all wherever we ended up. So, I mean, the tragedy is, it didn't take a lot to avoid it.
John, I know you're not good on your feet, but we're trying, it's almost like we're becoming the children of Israel here. We're going to walk through this historic wall gate. John's the Moses sandal. John is the stick. Eamon, do you want to lead us in there? John, take us into the walled city.
There you are. Mark, I just thought yesterday when I was thinking about this, you know, the distance between the entrance to Fergie Gate and the Diamond was the reason why this march was banned on the 5th of October, because this march wasn't going to be allowed into the centre of the city because it was declared to be a unionist zone. And you know what? The distance between that gate and the Diamond is almost the same distance as the distance between the Army Barrier and William Street and the Guildhall on Bloody Sunday.
Eamon, it's just
crazy. The experience, we saw the police, we saw the water cannons, I mean, I would say, I was just a joke, I would have beat Usain Bolt across the bridge once the water cannon came after us, and I don't think I stopped running until we reached the Diamond.
But as an 11-year-old, it must have been confusing.
It was initially confusing at the very start because, you know, you have seen images on the TV of police lines, and they usually think they're holding people back for a good reason. So then we came along, you see a police line, and then a police baton charge, which while confusing at the start, it soon crystallised the mind.
And we're at the top of Lennon Hall Street, Eamon, and we're just crossing again. I hope these motorists can be generous to us. Thank you very much indeed. Even just in a word, your memory of that baton charge, what did you see as a kid?
Well, you see, my mother had come along, me and my sister were there at this age, I was still, there was nosiness, but my mother came along and realised the seriousness of the situation, so she said to us, do not move till I go and find your other brother. So, as good children do, we didn't move. The police baton charge started, we still didn't move, because, you know, children do, if their mother tells them to stand still, they stand still, until some man grabbed the two of us and says, run, and then we saw the water can, and we saw the plate, and we just ran.
And poetry speaks powerfully in this instance, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, he prefaces this wee poem with the words, during the 51-year existence of the Northern Ireland Parliament, only one bill sponsored by a unionist, non-unionist member was ever passed. And it's called Of Difference Does It Make? Among the plovers and the stonechats, protected by the Wild Birds Act of 1931, there is a rare stint called the Not A Whit, that has a shisty flight call like the chuffs. Not a whit, not a whit, not a whit. It raps out a sharp code sign like a mild and patient prisoner pecking through granite with a teaspoon.
Finbar saw us off, and look at us, we've got our motley crew. It's lovely to have you all with us. I'm delighted to be greeted at the end of our journey today by the Mayor of Derry City and Strabane District Council, John Boyd. John, thank you for receiving us.
My pleasure, Mark. You're absolutely welcome here to the Guildhall, and obviously, mind your step, going up these wee steps behind you. You've had quite a walk to get here, and very interesting contributions from your guests thus far. I've had the opportunity and the pleasure to listen to.
We've had a bit of an odyssey and a couple of encounters, and people maybe had been killing each other 50 years ago, John. It's not a day for party politics, you're the first citizen for all. But my goodness, John, I feel in this town today, what a stunner of a city it is.
Of course, Mark, and the weather was on your side, clearly.
It was.
Well, and I agree with you, it's not a day for party politics. It's a day to reflect on what civil rights was, what civil rights became, and what it is in the modern era, because still out there, there are still many people globally who are struggling for particular civil rights that perhaps we all, this day and age, and this country take for granted.
Jeanette, do you want to do the presentation?
I'm going to present the mayor with a wee box of buns, because you see back in 1968, in my day, when I was living on Mountjoy Street, a wee bakery around the corner, we couldn't afford those buns, so I'm giving them to you now today.
Thank you ever so much.
I make the joke all the time, we were all Che Guevara, you know. There we were, 19-year-old revolutionaries. Yeah. Now we're all men, and, you know, it's coming home to roost here now, and you think...
But I'm looking at the three of you, you know, three red-blooded young men out on the streets, and you're all old men now.
Well, excuse me, Mark. Excuse me.
You're all older men now.
Thank you.
You're all older men now trying, I feel, to right wrongs. What do you think about James has just said?
No, I can understand where James come from, but I mean, I would take issue that no right wrongs. I mean, we were as much victims in many ways of a situation that was not of our creation. Mm. Like, we were the children, as people used to call the children of 68. We grew up, this was what we knew from, we were, from my own case, from us 11 years onwards.
And from there on, it's okay, the narrative, it's okay to therefore to take a life,
no,
is okay.
If you take every single death in the North down to the individual, it's a tragedy. Every death is a tragedy. But if you take it in the general, but you take every death in the Second World War down to the individual, it's a tragedy. So every conflict, you've got these individual tragedies, okay. But you can't narrow it down and say, oh, but what about that? What about him? What about her? Because that's what conflict is about. Conflict ends up with a lot of victims, a lot of tragedies, but we did not create the conflict. You've got to look at what caused the conflict. And the conflict was the foundation of the conflict were laid this day 50 years ago.
Well, would you believe who's just arrived alongside you? Mary Hamilton, the veteran unionist councillor. Mary, of course, the Clonie bombing affected your life forever, I believe, shrapnel in your leg to this day.
That's right, I suffer every day with it. I mean, my question is, where was our civil rights in Clonie when there was 9 people blown to bits? My brother-in-law working in the city to improve it was shot in the back. So I feel there's a lot of hurt and a lot of hurt that we have to carry on our life with.
Mary, what is today about for you and your family?
Well, I think just a reminder of what started in the city and where it led to. And when you think of it, to me, it wasn't worth it. All those lives that were taken where people could have sat down and talked.
And yet loyalists took those lives as well. Mary, you know that.
Oh, I know that, certainly. I know that, but when I think what I saw on Claudie, it's very hard to get over.
Eamon, you're stood beside Mary, and it's not a day, it's not a day for confrontation. Big John's here as well. Is there a healing in regretting the taking of life, Eamon?
See, the word...
Do you regret it?
I mean, the word regret, I don't... It's a word I don't really go for because we have a conflict. It was an ugly conflict. A lot of things were done that shouldn't have been done. But the point was to try and move on from the conflict, to try and resolve the causes of that. And that's what it has to be about.
Let me ask you directly, because you stood there. How do you feel about what Mary went through on Claudie?
I feel very sorry for Mary. I know Mary. I've talked to Mary many a time. I feel very sorry for Mary as an individual, what she went through. But what I'm saying is, there's no point in looking back and saying, what about this? What about... Because we'll be here forever. But what about Ray? But the point is, what caused the conflicts? Try and solve those causes to make sure that it's never repeated. That's, I think,
Mary, what do you
important.
Think of that?
Yes, well, you see, people say about moving on, and it's very easy to say move on, but how can we resolve the past and bring back all those people that are lying in their graves?
We can't. That is the bottom line. We can't. But the point is, every single victim has got different views, different outlook. I mean, some people would like to see every Republican hanging from lampposts. Some people like to see every British soldier hanging from lampposts. Some people would like to see every loyalist hanging from lampposts. There is no set thing that everybody would agree on. This is how we deal with the past. We would love to deal with it, but I think there comes a point where we have to say to ourselves, we have reached so far, we've had a terrible conflict, there was an awful lot of things done, but it's over. And let's make sure it never happens again.
James, just on Big John, and then I do want to have some final thoughts with Gretty here as well.
Thank you.
James, do you regret it?
I do. I think there was a lot of things that happened that didn't have to happen. You know, but that's, you know, hindsight's 20/20 vision. It's very easy to sit here now, 50 years on, and say, well, this shouldn't have happened, and that shouldn't have happened, and whataboutism, and, you know, there's too much of that. There's too much whataboutism, you know what I mean? What we need to do now is draw a line and start. You know, start we and I don't
as equals, James.
As totally as equals. But you see this forgiveness thing, you know, we must forgive the people who wronged.
James has just put his arm around Eamon.
I don't believe that. You know, but what I would like to do is understand Eamon. Understand John. And for them to understand me and where I came from. You know what I mean?
Still no storm on John.
Mary's brother-in-law, you know, was part of why I'm standing here at the minute was when Ellis was killed. You know, I was informed by that. If you know what I'm saying. That made my mind up pretty much.
I'm going to get them.
Let's you know, even the score here, you know what I mean? That sounds
50 years ago, John, 50 years ago, John, he might have been out for you.
Well, and that's the way of it, Mark. That's what it did. And I think if we're going to sit here, I mean, look, we can talk about regret.
Do you regret it, John?
I think the question we have to ask...
I've asked Eamon and James, do you regret it?
Yes, there were things that happened that shouldn't have happened, and things that I was involved in, given the choice now and being as informed as I am now, would not have happened. The thing is, what do we learn from it? What can we pass forward? What can we change in it? What have we learned from this experience to ensure that our children, our grandchildren, aren't going to have to go through the same thing again? And I think part of that is, yes, we are starting to address equality. We haven't addressed equality. But I think, as Mary said, look, I want to talk. I want to talk. That's the way to do it. If talking could have changed this, if there was a voice that was willing to learn to the experiences of the majority in this city in 1968, we would not have gone through what we had to go through.
Mary, reflecting as a senior unionist on all your life, a unionist, can you hear that narrative, how the Catholic and the working class Protestants, of course, but how the people were hurting?
Yes, but I mean, Protestants were suffering too as well.
I get that, but can you hear what Big John's just said?
Yes, I can hear what he says, but I mean, we have heard it in Claudie, and my problem is we want to move on, but how do we forget the images and the people? We've never got justice, and I think this is what hurts a lot of people.
We've just completed the march that was planned in 68, 50 years ago, to the day. There's maybe something to be said for that. My thanks to the Mayor, John Boyle, for graciously receiving us today. We get those buns of Jeanette's out. And that takes us to the end of this special broadcast of the 50th anniversary of the Duke Street Civil Rights March, the day, so to speak, the Troubles began. We've met those who marched, those who watched, those whose lives were affected by violence. 50 years on, you could say politics is just as fractured as it was in 68. Then Stormont stumbled and collapsed. Today, Stormont lies empty again, and questions of political leadership across the world are just as pertinent as ever. So we don't have the answers, folks, but the question remains, what lessons can we draw, not just what happened on the day, but from the tortured period of history that followed?